Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you on this Sunday, the 14th of July. In recent weeks, we've had the Fête Saint-Jean-Baptiste, we've had Canada Day, we've had the 4th of July, American Independence Day, and today, 14 Juillet, is Bastille Day in France. Once again, the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, is pleased to bring you this broadcast of the Word of Grace on CJMQ Radio from the heart of the Eastern Townships. My name is Nigel Parker, and I have the privilege of being the minister of St. Andrew's. Today we're finishing our story in the Book of Ruth. But first, words from the psalm. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me! The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are the source of life and love in all creation. In a world marked by bitterness, you are compassion. In a culture marked by confusion, you are the truth that sets us free. Listening God, we gather together today to join in songs of worship and prayers of praise to the God who rescues and redeems and sets us free. When we take our fears and anxieties to you, you release us from them. We celebrate your blessings in all the circumstances of our lives and our living. And as we give thanks to you for your presence within us to inspire, challenge, and call to us in the seeking of you, the psalmist invites us to taste and see that the Lord is good. So help us, Lord, to live and act positively in our response to your goodness. We say, in God is my safety and glory, the rock of my strength. My soul is at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from our God. Our great and awesome God, you never waver in your covenant commitment, never give up on those who love you and do what you say. Yet we have sinned in every way imaginable. We've done evil things, rebelled, dodged, taken detours around your clearly marked paths. We confess that we have sinned. We know that we don't deserve a hearing from you. Our appeal is to your compassion. This is our last and only hope. Master, listen to us. Master, forgive us. Through Christ your Lamb, our Lord. Here is a trustworthy saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Our sins are forgiven for his sake. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The book of Ruth has told the story of Elimelech and his wife Naomi and two sons who fled from a famine in the town of Bethlehem, known as the House of Bread. All the men died, and when the good times returned, Naomi planned to go back to her native Bethlehem. She urged her daughters-in-law to return to their families in Moab. Orpah does so, but Ruth refuses to leave Naomi. Ruth accompanies Naomi to Bethlehem, and she begins supporting the family by gleaning in the fields of a man called Boaz, a distant relative of her late father-in-law. Boaz and Ruth fall in love, and after a series of twists and turns and legal procedures, they get married. And so love and law come together. And we find ourselves at the end of the book of Ruth in chapter 4. Reading at verse 9. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are my witnesses." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Peretz, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he also become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. And the women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Peretz. Peretz was the father of Hetzron, Hetzron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. Amen. The Book of Ruth, short as it is quite a remarkable book within the pages of the Bible. It's a book where we never actually hear the voice of God. We hear about God, we hear people bless each other in the name of God, but we never hear the voice of God saying, "This is the word of the Lord." God is kind of, well, I was going to say invisible, but that's pretty obvious anyway. It means that somehow or other, God isn't active, it seems, within the story. He doesn't seem to be doing anything. He seems to be absent from the action. And the story lurches from catastrophe to catastrophe. There's a famine in Bethlehem, that village whose name means house of bread. And a man named My God is King dies in a foreign land under other gods. And his sons die and his heritage is lost. Where is God in this? Have you a story like that? When God seems silent, when God seems to have nothing to say, when God is doing nothing? God is with us in all circumstances, in both the hills and valleys of life. However, it's easier to notice God's presence with us during good times, when we're celebrating our blessings, than it is when we're going through challenges. Psalm 34 verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Where is God in the book of Ruth? Well, firstly, he's in the circumstances. In the story of Ruth, there's an utterance of faith that transforms the whole story. Naomi, who feels empty and bitter, has a daughter-in-law, Ruth, who reminds her what the love of God is like. Ruth says to Naomi, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you from me." Where did she get that kind of knowledge from? Where did she learn that insight? Where did that word come from? Somewhere in a situation where God wasn't speaking, God was speaking. Speaking a word of faith by a woman who wasn't expected to do so. God was speaking in the midst of the circumstances. And then we came across Boaz. Boaz was a landowner who trusted God. He was good to his workers, kind to his neighbors, and generous to the outsider and the immigrant. He made sure that Ruth was able to glean, to gather up the leftovers of the harvesters from when the first pass of the harvesters was through. Why did he do that? Because he listened to the words of the scriptures. I don't know that he read his Bible that morning and saw some verses highlighted. I think he just had absorbed the word of God from his family, from his culture, from the stories that were told until they just became a part of his practice, a part of who he was. And so the words of the scriptures which said to look out for the orphan and the widow, for the stranger in the land, to make space and provision for those who were at rock bottom, was just a part of his life. The love of God was made real in someone's character as they listened to and as they followed the scriptures. The power of scripture becomes evident when we submit ourselves to it. And so today, if you're reading God's word, ask the Spirit to highlight phrases and ideas. Submit yourself in obedience to what the scripture says. Be a doer of the word. God is ready to speak to you and through you to others. He's prepared to sow the seed of his voice wherever it's welcome. Open your heart to the word of God and allow it to produce the fruit of joy, peace, and purpose in your life so that others may hear the scriptures writ large in your life. God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through scripture. God speaks through the sandal. The sandal? Well, the sandal is what we learnt about last week. It was the seal of the legal process of redemption. It was the evidence that the price to set someone free from slavery or to release the mortgage or the debt on a piece of property had been paid. A redeemer was someone entrusted with securing one's release from oppression or harm or evil or enslavement or some other legal obligation. A redeemer restores the lost rights and freedoms by avenging any wrongs and paying whatever price is required to set that person free. And the townspeople responded to the word about Boaz and the exchange of a sandal with spontaneous shouts of affirmation and blessing. In their words of praise, God is credited for providing them with a redeemer. In the totality of the Bible, the role of the redeemer is assigned to Jesus Christ, who rescues believers from the dominion of darkness and delivers them into God's kingdom of light. By his death on the cross, he pays the ransom. He pays the price set to release us from our sin into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Is this your God, who sets you free to be your best self, who breaks the power of sin and death and brings in the law of the Spirit of life? I'm off on camp in a few weeks' time, and there was a camper who wrote of her testimony about her experience at her Bible camp. It is at camp that I can be my best self. Have you a God who helps you be your best self? That's what we have in Jesus Christ the Redeemer. And so in four short chapters, we move from tragedy to triumph, from despair to joy, from emptiness to fullness. This book begins with famine and funerals and concludes with a wedding and the joyful birth of a son. God speaks through the circumstances, through the scriptures, through the sandal. But the story isn't over yet, for there's one more significant matter to consider. The last few verses of Ruth consist of a genealogy, a family tree. The story's rather surprising ending. We find that Ruth was an ancestor of King David. He was her great-great-grandson, and thus, according to the New Testament family trees, an ancestor of Jesus. The future for Ruth and Naomi and Boaz is so much more than just their own lives. The purpose of God was bigger than simply answering their needs for meaning and purpose and direction in their own times. They were part of a bigger story. Theirs is a story that goes beyond death itself. You may feel at times like Naomi did in Ruth chapter 1, bitter and barren and hurt and despairing and hopeless and on the edge of death. But if you are trusting in Jesus, you can persevere with hope, because a day is coming when death and sorrow will be no more. In the book of Ruth, the story that began with Naomi in bitterness and brokenness and on the edge of death ends with the women saying, "You are blessed, blessed by God, blessed for his grace in your life, and he's provided a redeemer for you, and now you have a life and a story that goes beyond death itself." God has a bigger purpose than just our personal happiness and well-being. God is working out a destiny through your life and mine. He has a future for us that goes beyond the grave. He has a future for us that isn't just about me and my comfort, but about his purpose, his kingdom, his church, his gospel. We may not understand his purpose, but we can trust our future to his providence. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Amen.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Let's turn to God in prayer. We give you thanks and praise, O God, for you have drawn us to yourself in Christ and will raise us to life on the last day. You created the heavens and the earth, and all your creatures draw their life from you. Even when we've rebelled against you, you have never left us hanging in fear or crying from the depths. In love and mercy, you hear our yearning prayers and mark us out for the day of redemption. You sent us your Son, Jesus Christ, the bread of life for our deepest hunger, and you drew us to him that we might learn from him. And when the world turned against him, he gave himself up in the fullness of love, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to you for the life of the world, so that we and all who trust him may find life without limit. Today we pray for courageous leaders in cities and countries and congregations who strive to serve with integrity and honesty in a world prone to self-interest. We pray for patient church members and community volunteers who work diligently to improve our life together. We pray for creative, impatient change makers who keep challenging us to be bolder and more determined in righting wrongs and trying new strategies. We pray for the troubled in mind or spirit, for the angry and unhappy, for those who feel that every day is a struggle. And we remember before you the sick and the dying, the bereaved who must try to put their lives back together again. For all those who are looking for better health, a fresh start, more stability, or a glimpse of hope. Draw close to all those who suffer, offering your comfort and courage to face whatever comes next. Blessed are you, O God, for all your goodness to us. And hear us as we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am I am weak and worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to light. Take my hand, precious Lord. My precious way Lord, grows dear, precious Lord, linger near, when my life is almost gone. Hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand. Oh, take my hand, precious love, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious love, lead me home, lead me home.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.